garments, opportunity, or albatross. I talk so much about the need to add new services that sometimes I'm taken aback when someone tells me, "We tried that and it didn't work." Case in point, when I was running the Implant Breakfast Forum in Las Vegas last October during Printing United Expo, and one of my panelists, Dave Earp, supervisor of print and mail services at Lakeland College, told me, in front of a room full of implant managers, that despite my recommendation, garment printing just wasn't for his shop.
The margins that we were achieving just didn't make sense for us.
He reiterated on a recent Zoom call, especially in light of the much better profit his shop was making from its wide format printing business.
On a 3-foot by 5-foot banner, I'm making $20 a banner, okay, versus making $1.10 on a t-shirt. Does that make sense?
The question of where to devote your resources for the best result is a crucial one to ask for any implant eager to add new services. In Lakeland's case, expanding wide format services was the right direction due to skyrocketing demand. The implant generates about $500,000 a year from this service, so clearly it's been a good call. Yet other implants have developed thriving garment printing businesses. Encompass Health Print Services gets about 10% of its business from apparel decorating, says Danny Kirkland, National Director. He notes that the implant saves the company $200,000 per year for this work while keeping control of the branding. Arkansas State University Printing Services gets the equivalent of 5% of its annual revenue from garment printing. The implant uses an Epson SureColor F2000 direct-to-garment printer to print about 25 shirts per week. On the West Coast, Sacramento State University Print and Mail just bought a Stahl's Hotronics Fusion IQ 16x20-inch heat press at Printing United Expo, intending to get into the apparel printing business. Director Laura Lockett sees a good opportunity in garment printing. The campus theater department, she points out, does 3 or 4 productions a semester and orders 20 to 50 shirts for each. She intends to provide these shirts.
I think it will really resonate with our student-led people, especially all the Greek clubs and organizations.
She told me in a scratchy speakerphone call that sounds like we were using 2 cans and a string.
The entry point to it is really reasonable.
The heat press cost about $3,000, Laura said, and the implant will buy transfers from Stahl's Transfer Express. She plans to have a new employee handle the garment production and is also working to expand the shop's wide format area.
My wide format is growing exponentially, and doing t-shirts is not going to slow it down.
And I'll spare you any more snippets from that call. Laura has encountered some challenges, though, such as getting shirts. Not all suppliers will sell directly to her shop. Supply issues have thwarted others, too. Charlotte Mecklenburg School's implant got into the garment business with gusto years ago using a direct-to-garment printer, but then it backed off. It came down to an inventory control issue, said Alvin Griffin, director of the Graphic Production Center there. The implant had too much trouble chasing down the different sizes and colors of shirts, he said, and they eventually found it more profitable to partner with 4imprint, a promotional products company. There are other perils, too. One implant, which I won't name, had its garment printing operation shut down by the university after printing a shirt design that some found offensive. So there's that. And if your plan is to print and sell school logos on shirts, you'd better make sure the licensing and purchasing departments are on board. Those rights may have already been doled out. Debbie Kate came up against licensing issues at Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center that restricted use of the logo. Purchasing also had rules governing t-shirt sales. The implant found it too complicated to navigate all this, so it never even started printing apparel. Debbie says, "My only advice is to make sure you know your institution's rules before you invest." Dave Earp of Lakeland also recommended implants be prepared before opening their wallets. His shop bought used equipment from a school district and had a tough time getting it to work right.
For the first 3 months of doing t-shirts, we probably tore up more than we delivered and started just doing analysis on it and said, hey, this is not for us,
he recalled. But today's equipment, he acknowledged, is more automated.
I would suggest make sure that you have the proper equipment. But if you're really going to do it right.
He said, from experience, any implant looking into garments should do plenty of homework, not only on the equipment, but to assess the demand. Will the value you provide justify the resources it will take? Could you add student workers or volunteers to do this? Or is it smarter to focus all your energy on other profitable services, knowing this is one less item you can provide your organization? For many, like Oregon State University Printing and Mailing Services, which just started providing dye sublimation printing of mugs, coasters, and t-shirts, it's worth a shot. As Director Jeff Todd told me,
I think it's a good business to be in. I think it will probably be our fastest growing area over the next couple of years, but there's definitely a learning curve to it.
Those are just a few points of view from implants that have looked into garment printing. It's up to you to see what works in your situation, but definitely look into this and other value-added services.